Everybody to Home Field Advantage. I'm your host, Gino Morrow. We're here live at Fashion Furniture. You're listening to Home Field Advantage, just steps away from River Park here at Fashion Furniture. Come join us live. Grab some pizza. We got some Me and Ed's Pizza here for you. Fashion Furniture, since 1960, Fresno's largest locally and independently owned furniture store. Weather outside is hot, folks. I mean, it is hot out there. Trust in that. I think it's like 83, 84 degrees out there right now. And it's just going to get hotter, folks. Turn the ACs on. Turn that fan on. If you're driving, please be careful out there on the roads. And weather is brought to you by Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Celebrating over 40 years. Lee'sAir.com. Check them out. Well, folks, it's been a week. We miss y'all. Hope everybody's doing well. A lot of breaking news out there in the ESPN world, the sports world here. Craziness going on. And before we get into all that good stuff, we just want to welcome home our Honor Flight members, Central Valley Honor Flight number 28. Kudos and cheers to those men and women that make that event possible every time they hit the runway. And what an amazing, amazing deal that is. And the welcome home they get is definitely, definitely overdue and welcomed. So, awesome. Welcome home, guys. All right, let's get into some breaking news here. All right. Looks like the state of Virginia's got the NIL all going wacky today with their passing on their bill there. It's going to definitely change the script when it comes to NIL money and what have you, getting the state involved. It's definitely going to change the course of what's going on. I know we've been beating it, talking about it all day on different shows, and it's one of those things that, you know, you just got to keep talking about, because we got to figure out what is going on. I mean, it's insane. It's not even, it's like Nick Saban said earlier, it's almost like they're not even student athletes anymore. Well, going towards that route, I guess you could say. They're not really student athletes anymore. They're athlete students. But that is the way the NCAA is moving towards. And it's pretty wild. Pretty wild stuff. Basketball is getting ready to wrap up here soon. We're going to have a crazy tournament of teams. I know there's a couple more games to play. We'll get into that a little later. And Lakers are playing the Nuggets. I know a lot of Laker fans out there are excited and worried all in the same sentence. But if there's anything I've learned about the Lakers since LeBron James has been in the league or been with the Lakers, period, is you really can't bet against the guy, because for some reason he always figures out a way to get himself in that, you know, in the mix, whether it be postseason-wise or headlines or what have you. You just can't count that guy out completely or at all. Pretty crazy. Let's see here. Coyotes are for sale. Looks like they're moving to Salt Lake City. That's big news right now going on. We'll be talking a lot about that down the road here. Not much today. I'm not going to really break into the NHL yet, but something to think about, something to look if you're a hockey fan. Coyotes are done using the Arizona State University facility, and season is looking like the Coyotes are moving to Salt Lake. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. All right, well, let's jump into some Giants baseball. Last night, Wynn got the win. It was a insane game. The big 3-1 victory there. Wynn goes to 1-3 with a 4.09 ERA, and he beat Cronin, who's 0-2 now with a 1.69 ERA. How are you 0-2 with a 1.69 ERA? Still trying to figure that out. Duvall with his third save on the season. And literally, Giants are starting to heat up. Solaire was in his hometown of Miami. I like to say hometown because he's got a house there, and it's where his family is. But he's starting to look like the Solaire the Giants were hoping that he would be. You know, Chapman got his big hit in an RBI yesterday, and fortunately he was 1-for-4, but that one was a big hit. Tyler Estrada doubled in the fourth on a ground ball to the fielder Nick Gordon, and Solaire scored, and that's how the Giants got their first run. And then next in the bottom of the sixth, Brian De La Cruz homered his third of the year on a fly ball to right field, and it's tied the score up with San Francisco. Giants won, Miami won. Then in the top of the seventh, Patrick Bailey, everybody's favorite new Giant, it seems. He's definitely making waves as a catcher. And Bailey singled on a ground ball to the right fielder Jesus Sanchez, Tyler Estrada to third. And then Nick Ahmed ground into a double play. Second baseman Luis Rise to first. And Estrada scored. Bailey out at second, but damage was done, and the Giants took a 2-1 lead. Then down the stretch in the top of the eighth, Matt Chapman doubled his fourth on a line drive. And Jung Lee scored, and Giants took a 3-1 lead on that. And the ending score, as we all know, was 3-1. Giants victorious on the road against Miami with the series win as well. And I am still trying to figure out why Yastrzemski is not hitting very well yet. I think we're all kind of in that boat right now. He's only got he's hitting 121 right now. I don't think he'll be hitting 121 very long. I got a feeling that guy's going to come around and shock a lot of people. He had a really good stand at the very end of this last season, and he looked really good in spring training. So I'm sure the Giants are definitely hoping that they make segues with him as well. I'm enjoying this Lee kid. He's definitely bringing fire to the Giants. They're definitely loving him as well. And Matt Chapman, again, big bat. He's starting to come around now as well. We'll see a lot more of Matt Chapman down the road. Great glove. We all know what we get with Matt Chapman. He's no stranger to the Bay Area, that's for sure. That is for sure. Let's see. So tonight's game, Giants are taking on Arizona in San Francisco, and that'll be a good one to watch if you're out there. It'll be Webb versus Nelson. If you're in the San Francisco area, check that game out. That starts 6:45, first pitch scheduled tonight. And then this weekend, the Giants at home, of course. They got a 7:15 Saturday night start. And it looks like Snell will be on the mound again against Montgomery. And I'm not worried about Snell. I don't know about you Giants fans out there. But I'm not worried about Blake Snell. He's one of those guys that, you know, he kind of starts slow. Then as the season progresses, the guy just, he brings the heat. And he gets through it and he figures it out. And literally is probably one of the best pitchers in the league. Just got to give him a little time. He really didn't get a chance to ramp up during spring training because he wasn't signed. So I think that's kind of the issue right now. I don't necessarily know why they're pushing him out there so much yet. But, again, hey, that's coach's decision. We got to back the coach, right? That's his job. So, and then Sunday, 1:05 first pitch. You got Gallen. The Giants have yet to determine who's going to be their starting pitcher on Sunday. But again, if you're heading to the San Francisco area, check it out. There's going to be some good Giants baseball for you out there in San Francisco and for you to watch and listen to on our ESPN radio here at 1430. Tonight's game is going to be Kerman and Kingsburg, and we'll kind of jump into that a little later as well. That'll be exciting. We got a really good game. Kingsburg and Kerman both are Central CIF powerhouses right now. They're ranked in the top 20 right now in the Central section. Kerman, I believe, is the number 12 spot, and Kingsburg jumped up into the number 9 spot. And from the research I was doing the other day, I noticed that Kingsburg has had Kerman's number twice this year, so maybe the Lions out in Kerman can remedy that and get one against Kingsburg. But again, if you're out there today, you're looking for something to do tonight, Kerman will be facing Kingsburg, and that should be a really good game. And we'll be bringing that to you as well. We'll be bringing that game to you as well on 1430 here on ESPN Radio. Good times, good times. Around the league, not much going on right now. Only 5 games today, and it looks like 3 of the 5 have already gotten through. The Angels beat the Rays. All right, let me start over here. The Rays beat the Angels, 2-1. That get very tight game. Pepio with the win. He's 2-2 now. And Canning with the loss. Canning's been not looking good. He's got an 8.05 ERA. Not too sharp right now. But I'm sure Canning is one of their better pitchers. He's definitely one of those pitchers that will turn it around. Texas beat the Tigers today, 9-7. That game didn't ever look like it was going to end. The scoring on that game was insane. The guys were racking up the points there. 13 hits from Texas and 11 hits from Detroit, but Detroit with 3 errors. And when you got 3 errors at the major league level, it's really tough to win those ball games. But your winner today was Leckler, and he goes to 1-2. And Miller with a loss today, he ends up with a 3-2 overall, and he's 1.74 ERA. Again, these low ERAs, but when the team's jumping on you early like the Rangers did, it's tough to get out and win that game. And Yates with another save. Kirby Yates with the save. Guardians are all done today, and Guardians are on fire right now. I think they're one of the better teams in the league, as a matter of fact. And they beat the Red Sox today 5-4. Nothing shocking there. The Guardians are coming out hot. Carrasco with the win, and he goes to 1-1 with a 3.44. And Criswell ends up losing that game today. He's at 4.26. And Classe with the save. The only game that is left is tonight's game, D-backs and Giants. Again, that game starts at 6:45 p.m. And the Marlins and Cubs game today was postponed. Unfortunately, that game was postponed. The makeup is going to be on April 20th. So there will probably be a doubleheader, I'm guessing. I'm not certain on that or factual on that yet, but you can check your local listings or go to ESPN.com or MLB.com, and all that information will be at your fingertips. So, again, Marlin Cubs game is postponed today. All right. As far as the NL West standings go, we'll take a look at our NL West standings. And right now, the New York Yankees aren't in the NL West, but the Dodgers are still in the lead right now in the NL West with 12 wins and 9 losses. They hit a pretty hard skid lately. The last few games, they haven't been looking like the Dodgers we saw at the beginning of the year, or at least the Dodgers that were in spring training racking up all those runs. Right behind the Dodgers is the San Diego Padres. They're 11-10 right now. D-backs at 9-10, and the Giants are right there with them at 8-11. Giants are on a streak right now with one one win streak. The last 10 games, though, the Giants are 5-5, so things are turning around for the Giants right now. The Dodgers in their last 10 games are 4-6, so we'll see if LA can turn it around this weekend. They've got a big series coming up with the, pardon me, got a I should say, huge series coming up with the Mets in L.A. That will be very interesting to see how that pans out. I know Manea is going to be out there tomorrow, and looks like the Kid Hauser from the Mets is going to be pitching as well. I don't necessarily know if the Dodgers have put a pitcher out for that game yet, but I'm sure we'll get all that information again as it comes. Let's see, Friday. Yeah, we got Manea versus Yamamoto on Friday for the Dodgers. That's 7:10 first pitch. And then the next night, the Dodgers will be playing a 1:05 first pitch, and that'll be Buto with, again, to be determined. Dodgers have not yet figured out their starters. A lot of pitching issues going on with the Dodgers right now, so we'll see. Guys are hurt, not healthy. There's rotational issues right now. Not so much in the bullpen, but the starters are definitely taking a pounding right now. Not looking too sharp, but they'll make it through. I'm sure the Dodgers will figure out how to get through it. And I mean, with that payroll and those players, that top three, I mean, that is welcome to Murderer's Row, right? All right. Yankees, again, like I was saying earlier, Yankees are still at the top of their division. Aaron Judge knocking them in. I saw him hit a RBI yesterday that helped the Yankees take the lead in that game. And they say that Judge has been slow out the gate as well, but we all know, Fresno people, we all get it. We know he's going to be just fine. And Baltimore's right there with them. Same record. They're a half game behind. They're 12-6, Yankees 13-6. And the surprise so far, but not a surprise, is the Cleveland Guardians, 13-6, leading the AL Central. And the Texas Rangers, with their win today, they took the brunt of becoming the first place team in the AL West. And guess who's 8-11 right now, and nobody thought they'd even have 8 wins at this point? The Oakland Athletics. That's right, the Oakland Athletics. Moving to Sacramento, Oakland Athletics. So hang in there, Oakland fans. Your A's aren't gone yet, so let's keep rooting for them. All right, well, it looks like we need to take a quick break, and we'll be back shortly. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Home Field Advantage. I'm Gino Morrow. We're here at Fashion Furniture. We've got some free pizza. Come on down and enjoy some free pizza here at Fashion Furniture. Since 1960, largest locally and independently owned furniture store. Fashion Furniture. There's some good-looking furniture here, let me tell you. Yes, indeed. 83 degrees outside, folks. It's pretty sunny. Turn those ACs on. And again, if you're out there, wherever you are listening to us, please be careful driving and enjoy this beautiful weather we're getting, because you know how hot it's going to get soon. Very, very, very soon. It's going to get crazy hot. Well, alrighty. Let's jump into some Grizzlies baseball. We're lucky enough to have the play-by-play announcer, Mr. Stephen Rice, join us today on the show. Stephen, are you there?
I am here, Gino. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, thank you again, Stephen, for joining us. I'm getting used to this, man. It's kind of becoming a regular thing. I'm enjoying this. This is a lot of fun. Yeah, getting to talk Grizz. I almost want to call the segment Let's Get Grizzled, you know?
I love that so much. I think that would be a perfect name for it.
Well, let's jump into it, Stephen. Tough one last night. Inland Empire took it to the Grizzlies and beat them 4-1. Give us a little breakdown of last night's game.
You know, so last night we actually faced the Stockton Courts here against in Stockton, California. But, you know, it was a tough loss. You know, our bullpen had a little bit of a rough outing overall. You know, didn't throw strikes the way we usually do. But you know what? The Grizzlies are still in first place in the California League North Division, 6-3, the best record in the league. We have continued to show really good strength on all different angles, from our pitching to our hitting to our fielding. So, you know, even though last night was a setback for our team, You know, we've played really well so far this year, and we hope that we can continue our winning ways tonight.
And Kent was the unfortunately, Kent was the losing pitcher last night. Kent, a righty or a lefty?
Say that one more time.
Is Kent a righty or a lefty? I noticed Kent was the losing pitcher yesterday to Weatherly. Is he a righty or a lefty?
He's a left-hander. Sam Weatherly's a left-hander, yeah.
Weatherly's a left-hander. Got it.
Yes. It's really weird. We have 16 arms in our bullpen, and 9 of the 16 of them are left-handers. And, you know, it's crazy to think about that, Gino, because, you know, you look at a lot of rosters, especially in the big leagues, or you look in minor league system, and you don't see a lot of lefties. You know, usually you look at teams, and there's maybe 3 or 4 lefties, and we have 9. We have more lefties than righties, and I think that makes it so unique for our team when it comes to playing guys every single day, and allows us to mix and match with matchups that we've never been able to do in the past. And I think it really helps our team and our pitching coach, Rolando Garza, and our manager, Steve Felice, really figure out what the best option is to help our squad out.
You're here listening to Home Field Advantage on 1430. I got Steven Rice, our play-by-play announcer for the Fresno Grizzlies, on here. Steven, the Grizzlies are 6-3, tied with Modesto right now at the top of the California League North Division. I know it's early, man. I know it's early. But who in the league and in the division do you see being the team to beat in this first half? Give us your insight.
You know, it is Modesto. Modesto brings back the majority of their offense, led by 5 top 30 prospects in the Mariners system. Outfielder Lázaro Montes is one of the best young players in the game of baseball right now. And when you have a guy like that in the middle of your lineup, it's really scary to, you know, face a team like that. And that's a team who was the reigning champs last year. And, you know, when you have a chance to beat the reigning champs at some point during the season and win the first half, you want to do that. So that's the team we're keeping an eye on for. But, of course, we have San Jose coming to Chachansky Park next week. And we hope that people can come on down and watch the future of the San Francisco Giants organization. They have Bryce Eldridge, who is their number 3 prospect in their system, and he is a very good first baseman.
I'm glad you mentioned the San Jose series. That brings me to my next question, bud. Back at the Chuck next week, series begins on Tuesday with an 11:05 a.m. first pitch. Give our listeners the insight on that series. San Jose Giants are coming to town, and you're taking on the matchups to come.
Yeah, you know, so we swept San Jose to begin the season at their ballpark, Excite Ballpark, 3-0, which was our first ever sweep of San Jose since 2022, and our first ever sweep ever at Excite Ballpark. And so for us, we have a lot of motivation and confidence going to that series. We have left-handed pitcher Albert Pacheco expected to get the ball that Tuesday morning for our Making the Great game. Bright and early, so we want our fans to come on down. Take your lunch off, Gino. Come take your lunch off. Come on down to the ballpark and watch a good game, too. But 6 games of a lot of fun. We just announced that April 28th will be our new Meet Bluey and Bingo night as well, too. So we want people to come on down, come see the amazing promotion, come watch some really good baseball. San Jose and Fresno have played really good games over the past couple of seasons.
So on the 28th, Meet Bluey and Bingo Day, is that taking over Bark in the Park? I know there was a second Bark in the Park on that weekend. Is that going to be rescheduled?
It will be for both options. So, yes, it will be not only for Bark in the Park as well, but it will also be Meet Bluey and Bingo Day. So now the one caveat, though, is if you do bring your beautiful puppers, they won't be able to meet the puppers in Bluey and Bingo just for safety reasons. But we will have both options as well, too. And not only that, your dog will also get a nice little bandana as part of our partnership as well, too. Meet Bluey and Bingo Night is presented by Calviva Health. And, of course, we want to thank all of our partners this season for helping us out when it comes to putting on these amazing promotions. It is Sunday, April 28th at 1:05 p.m. And so it is also Bark in the Park as well, too. So come bring your furry friend. If you don't bring your furry friend, you can meet some furry friends in Bluey and Bingo. And, of course, you get a chance to watch some dogs on the field, your Fresno Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, bring the dogs to the park so that when, you know, when San Jose comes up to bat, we can get them barking, you know. It'll be a good time.
That's exactly the goal. Absolutely. And we can't wait to see Growlifornia back in again. And we're happy that hopefully the rain is gone as well, too.
Yeah, that was a tough weekend, losing that doubleheader. Well, losing the doubleheader that was scheduled for the Sunday day. and that Saturday game being postponed as well. But are those games going to be made up down the road, or is there an option for that?
You know, so unfortunately the Grizzlies will lose out on two home games, but it sounds like we will make them up in Inland Empire. So it could be an 8-game series in a couple of weeks down at San Manuel Stadium in San Bernardino, California. Still not scheduled yet what days it will be, but we do plan on making up those games because we want to play some more baseball. So it stinks for our fans, but at the same time, too, we're really fortunate that we still have a chance to play these games and get some more wins under our belts.
That's cool. Now, Steven, we got some promotions coming up this weekend as well, starting Friday. Let's dive into those promotions. Tell us what's going on at Chukchansey Park on Friday and on Saturday as well.
Yeah, so we have Halfway to Halloween, which is one of my favorite promotions all year long. And what I like about Halfway to Halloween is it gives us a chance to really dress up in costume. We want you guys to come to the ballpark dressed in your best gear, whether it's a baseball player, whether you put on your favorite superhero costume. We want you to come on down to that, too. Not only that, we also have community outreach night presented by Chukchansey Gold Resort and Casino. So it's a chance for you to get some ghoulish gear from one of our partners as well, too. We have a tote bag giveaway, which is one of the coolest items on the schedule as well, too. It gives you a chance to go around the ballpark, get some candy from all of our community outreach partners that will be at the game, too. And the night finishes with Friday night fireworks as well. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, too, we have Meet Blue and Bingo Night on Sunday. So a lot of promotions down the line that I hope you guys can come check out. Friday night's game is a 7:05 p.m. first pitch. Saturday's at 6:50 p.m. And then Sunday, that 1:05 p.m. matinee game. So three different times. Make sure you grab your tickets now at FresnoGrizzlies.com. They are available right now. You can also come on down to our Chukchansey Park box office to purchase your tickets. And we hope we can see you at the ballpark this season.
So they're playing in Stockton, Stephen, and I'm sure tell us a little bit about the Stockton Park. A lot of people aren't too familiar with the ports. Give us a little insight on that.
Yeah, Banner Island Ballpark is a beautiful venue here in Stockton. It actually has continued to receive upgrades. Like Chukchansey Park in Fresno has over the years. It's a little bit of a smaller park, 300 to left field, about 320 to right field, just under 400 feet to dead center. The ball flies. Especially at nighttime, and our team takes advantage of that. We are 31-7 all time at Banner Island Ballpark, and it allows our offense to really get the bats going, and our pitching staff does a great job trying to keep the ball down and get a lot of ground balls too. But you know, they got a new field this year, so they'll continue to get a new field for the next couple of seasons. They're going to do some renovations to their clubhouses, it sounds like, as well too. So our players are going to be very excited for years to come to go down to Banner Island Ballpark. We are here for 18 times this season, which is more than any other place that we will visit in the California League in 2024.
You're listening to Home Field Advantage. I'm Gino Morrow. We've got Steven Rice, the play-by-play announcer for the Fresno Grizzlies, on air with us right now. Steven, what's the feel right now around the clubhouse? I know it's still early in the season, and I know guys are still kind of getting used to Fresno and getting used to getting rid of the jitters out there at the Chuck, you know, facing the big crowds when we get them in there. What's the feel in the clubhouse right now?
You know, it really starts with our manager, Steve Solis. He gives such a great demeanor for our guys. He's very uplifting, very motivating. But it really is about being serious when we get to the ballpark, too. Yes, it's about having fun and having a good time, too. But we take our preparation very seriously. So our clubhouse is really motivated, and they're really kind of focusing in on making sure they get the job that's done at hand. And a lot of guys are, you know, once they finish up their preparations in the cages or doing field work, they come on in, get some meals going, get some laughs. But their big thing right now is making sure that they are prepping and putting themselves into the right mindset to get ready for a game. And this team specifically, they're kind of like the quiet assassins. There's a lot of different characters on our team, and a lot of these guys have a really good mindset, and it's really fun and motivating to watch.
So I'm going to ask you this, Steven. With the new guys here in Fresno, or I should say, is there a specific spot where these guys are going to have lunch or eat? I know a lot of the meals are cooked there in the clubhouse and what have you, but is there a special place that the Grizzlies have found this season to kind of hang out and grab lunch or grab a quick dinner or something Any thoughts,
you know,
or can you share something like that?
Because, yeah, our players, you know, they do a great job just trying to keep themselves healthy and safe too. But I know that our coaching staff loves going and getting Mad Duck. It's kind of their big, you know, checkout spot in general. But a lot of our players, they love going to Dutch Bros. They love going to In-N-Out. They love going to Raising Cane's. A lot of our partnerships that allow our players to go on there and get some food and get their bodies right. But, you know, for us, you know, the big thing is finding something that's not going to overwhelm you before a baseball game. And I think that's something that our players take in stride, and I know that they definitely enjoy it. But all of our players, and myself included, we love to eat. So, you know, being an athlete, I can't say that being a broadcaster, but our athletes, they, you know, they love to be able to put some food into their system, and it really puts them to a right mindset for the rest of the series.
I really enjoy hearing when players, or let me rephrase that, I really love hearing when you hear fans saying, oh, yeah, I ran into so-and-so the other day who plays for the Fresno Grizzlies, you know. That stuff is so cool to hear, bud. And I know that they're out there looking, too, because I see these I see the kids before the games, you know, they're getting autographs. I mean, it seems like the city of Fresno is really getting engaged with the team this year. I really believe that the social aspect of that has definitely taken a turn for the better.
It has. And something that Steve Solis, our manager, has really instilled this year to our players is being able to be a, you know, a fan of the fans, you know, and it's something that we have done over the years, but this year, you know, we've already been able to have our players go out into the community and meet a lot of California and meet Fresno and see the city and what it brings to the Central Valley. And our players are enjoying every bit of it. And so when our fans get to run into a player or get to see a player before the game, they're able to have that quick moment of a conversation that does go a long way. We have one of our players named Kevin Tucker. He's an infielder. Kevin Tucker was just telling me the other day that, you know, he had a couple kids that came up to him and said they play ball and they had a blast watching him and they want to play just like him. And when you hear that kind of stuff as a player, it's not only motivating to continue to do your craft well, but continue to get better every single day. And it's a great feeling to have that kind of stuff. So I'm really happy for our players, and I hope that, you know, everyone in Gratiot Corner gets a chance to come watch them and come on down early to a game so you can go get some autographs from these guys too, because you never know that one of these players could be the future Colorado Rockies All-Star.
Absolutely. I mean, look at Ezekiel, man. No, I mean, we all watched him sprout into the fine player he is today, and he was in Fresno not too long ago. So, you know, like you said, you never know.
Yeah, Fresno's already had four players reach it to the pinnacle of the Rockies over the past couple of seasons. And like Ezekiel Tovar, who kind of started the path, we see guys that are on the verge of getting to the big league. Adiel Amador, the number one prospect in the Rocky system, was a Grizzlies player just a couple of years ago. We had guys from last year's team that are making jumps very quickly, like Ryan Ritter, who won the California League MVP. So you never know who you're going to see at this level. You never know what kind of talent you're going to see until you come out and watch it yourself. And we hope that you guys come do that.
So tonight's game, Stevens, the 7:05 first pitch. You got Eminer on the mound versus Finley, correct? What is your thoughts
that is
about
correct.
Tonight's matchup?
It's a very good matchup. Jackson Finley is one of the top pitchers in the Athletics organization, so we're excited to see what the right-hander brings for Stockton, but we have a good game plan. We're ready to go against them. While Austin Eminer, he's a very tall, lanky lefty that has really good stuff. Struck out 7 batters in his first outing. 5 of the first 6 batters he faced, he struck out. So a guy who's going to pound the strike zone, and, you know, a lot of people have said this before, but sharks don't nibble, they bite, and he is a shark in Austin Eminer.
Right on, Steven. Hey, before I let you go today, we all know you're the current play-by-play announcer for the Grizzlies, but you also work for the Colorado Rockies as well. And I know this because we work together as well. And can you tell us what you do for the Rockies, what your job kind of consists of? I know our listeners are kind of curious. I got a few text messages this weekend, like, what does this guy do with the Rockies? So kind of give us an idea.
You know, the big thing that I do with the Rockies is just communicating with what we're doing on an everyday basis and allowing the Rockies to see what the Grizzlies have been doing, not only statistically, but through writing, through our game notes. And so a lot of the stuff that I'll do is sending game notes about updates of trends for our team and showing what our team has been doing over the past couple of weeks. And it gives the Rockies and our communications department up with the Rockies, who are the best out there. There is no one better in baseball than that communications department. But they get a chance to see what we're doing and get a chance to hear about these amazing talents that maybe they don't know, or maybe a guy that wasn't piquing their interest at first is coming around the corner for them. So, you know, it's something that I get to be the kind of middle guy when it comes to showing off what these players have, but also giving a chance for the Rockies to see what is going on in Fresno. And it's a blessing to do that. So, you know, if everyone, you know, even though we have the Grizzlies, go rock out your Rockies as well too, because the future is bright for the Colorado Rockies. We can't wait to see what they have coming in the couple years.
Absolutely. Steven, thanks again for joining the show. We appreciate you. Have a great call tonight. Let the Grizzlies know everybody here in Fresno's rooting for them. And again, we appreciate you joining us, bud. Thank you.
Hey, Gino, thank you so much. Everyone over at ESPN Radio, we appreciate you guys. Thank you again.
Right on. Everybody, that was Steven Rice, play-by-play announcer for your Fresno Grizzlies. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back shortly. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Radio. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Home Field Advantage. I'm Gino Amaro. We're here live at Fashion Furniture. Fashion Furniture since 1960, largest locally and independently owned furniture store. Weather is 84 degrees, brought to you by Lee's Air. And we'll jump into some high school baseball. We've got a game tonight, Kerman versus Kingsburg. First pitch is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. You'll be able to listen to that here on 1430 ESPN Radio. Got Paul Metters on the call with Mike Brink. They're going to bring the action out in Kingsburg, California. Good times there. Kerman right now is 13-7 overall with a 4-3 league record. And Kingsburg right now is 15-6 overall with a 5-2 league record. And those teams are going head-to-head. Kerman coach Jared Coleman's bringing his boys to Kerman. And hopefully, I'm sure Kerman's looking for the big W. They've dropped two to Kingsburg this year to Jim Cranford's team. Bunch of good baseball out in the west side of the valley. And in that division alone, there's a lot going on in high school baseball. And let's dig into some of that high school baseball stuff. So right now, Max Preps has Clovis at number one with a 15-4 overall. Liberty and Bakersfield is at number two. That's a really tough team, too, that Liberty Bakersfield team. Cabrillo at Lompoc is climbing the ladder up to number three. Clovis North kind of slipped a little bit down into the fourth spot, but you know, Clovis North isn't going anywhere, folks, so don't worry. That team will be right back up where they need to be. Bullard's coming in at fifth right now, right behind them from Fresno, and Frontier at Bakersfield climbing up to the number six. Bakersfield's got a few teams as well in the number seven spot, Bakersfield Christian, and Visalia bringing in Redwood up at number eight. And then we're looking at Kingsburg here at number nine. Again, 15-6 overall. Clovis West climbing the ladder now up to the number 10 spot at 14-5. And Liberty Madera, the Hawks. We had Derek Kuhn on last week. Great interview. He let us know what was going on there in the Madera Ranchos area. And they're 19-2, so that just tells me that they got that win over Minarets the other day. Stockton, Bakersfield, number 13. Buchanan climbing again up to 14. Like I said, don't count Buchanan out. They will figure out ways to get back in there, and they, as usual, will and do. The Atascadero up at 15. St. Joe's in Santa Maria up at the 16th spot. Centennial and Bakersfield. A lot of Bakersfield teams playing some really good baseball right now. They're in the 17th spot. Pioneer Valley in Santa Maria. You know, a lot of people don't know where Pioneer Valley High is, and if you look them up, you'll be able to find them. They're in the Santa Maria area. A good school there and playing some really good baseball. CVC and Visalia up to number 19. Rigetti again across the street from St. Joseph's in Santa Maria. They're at the number 20 spot. And the last five in this top 25 is Ridgeview 21, Mission College Prep 22, Tulare Western 23, Sierra Pacific and Hanford at 24. And Fowler, the Red Cats from Fowler at 25. Always good baseball coming out of Fowler. Even when I was younger, a young kid too, there was always somebody or something going on in Fowler baseball. And that stadium has seen a lot of good baseball over the years. That's for sure. And it doesn't surprise me one bit that they're in that 25 spot right now. Not the slightest. All right. Well, again, that game, Kerman and Kingsburg tonight, first pitch scheduled for 6:30. Looking forward to hearing that one on the radio tonight. Fortunately, I was hoping to get over there tonight to go watch that game, but got some other things I got to take care of, and that's just the way it goes sometimes. All right. I'm all trying to figure out my stuff here. I got a little sidetracked. I apologize. Anywho, a lot of good baseball being played this weekend. A lot of college baseball being played this weekend, too. If you're out there looking for some stuff to do, Fresno State Baseball has a tribute to Bob Bennett this weekend, and that'll be at the Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium there, and they'll be paying tribute to Inman Perkins as well. So if you're looking for stuff to do, I'll go through some of that stuff here later for the weekend to-dos, but just know that you got baseball all weekend at Fresno State. You got Friday game against San Jose State. That's 6:05 first pitch. And basically Saturday, I believe the Saturday baseball game will be starting at 3:05. And again, you can check your local listings. And GoBulldogs.com is always, always, always sharp and the place to go for your Bulldog sports if you're looking for what's going on at Fresno State. Softball this weekend at Margie Wright Diamond as well. They'll be taking UNLV on. And again, we'll go through some of that stuff as well. At Margie Wright Diamond on Friday, that game's scheduled for 6 p.m. And they take that series into the weekend as well with the game at 2 p.m. on Saturday and softball at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Baseball on Sunday is going to be at 1:05. So, hey, if you've got nothing going on, you can go to a softball game. Check out Margie Wright Diamond and your Bulldogs there. And then head on across the street and check out your Fresno State Bulldog baseball team. San Jose always brings, it's a great rivalry. If you've never seen San Jose State and Fresno State play, that is one of the, it's one of the fun ones to go to. Bakersfield's another one. Stanford, always a fun one. Fullerton, of course. I mean, we've got some really, really great in-state rivalries with a lot of these teams, and just a lot of good baseball going to be played this weekend as well. Softball too. Don't count out softball either. There's a lot of good high school and college softball being played this weekend. We'll check out that. Like I said, we'll go back and we'll recap at the end of our show this later in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll go down the list of to-dos this weekend, and we'll definitely give you some information as far as Fresno City College, Fresno Pacific, even Clovis Crush. Their swim team is heading to the CVC conference Friday through Saturday, as well as City College. They got a big swim meet going on, so we'll jump into that again. Like, we'll jump into that later on in the program. But I do want to let you know, I'm a teaser right now, that we do have Thompson Trailer Racing coming in at the top of the hour. So if you love racing, and or you're new to racing, kind of like I am, I'm kind of novice in racing. I haven't been following it too much, but lately it's definitely growing a lot of attention here locally in the valley. And we were fortunate enough to bring Thompson Trailer Racing into the studio with us here at Fashion Furniture, live on the Home Field Advantage show. And those guys are going to be joining us. We got Rick Thompson, who's been racing for quite a while now. I'm not going to go ahead and say how long, but we definitely know Rick's been on the track for a while. And we also have Nick Thompson, who is Kevin's son. Kevin Thompson, you all probably know who Kevin Thompson is. He's won some hardware out there. I know he's won some hardware because he's an old friend of mine, and I've been keeping eyes and keeping tabs on these guys, watching them climb the points ladder. So we're definitely lucky to have them here today. And Dan Myrick as well. He'll be joining us as well with the team. and we'll get all three of these guys on headsets here at the top of the hour, and we'll get to talk some Madera Speedway racing. I'm excited because, like I said, I'm kind of novice to the sport itself. I'm learning every day about this sport more and more, and we're going to dig into these guys' heads. And, you know, if you don't think that racing is a sport or you don't think these guys are athletes, well, let me tell you, they are, and they're going to – and they definitely will let you know. If you've never been in a fast car like these guys, well, you might be in for a really good treat because I got a good feeling that they're going to give you kind of an idea of what it's like to be in the car and be in the crew and be with the team. And that's kind of what we're going to go for today. We're going to pick these guys' brains, and we'll bring them back after these messages. We got to cut to commercial here shortly. And like I said, we're going to bring in the Thompson Trailer Racing team and interview these guys and have some fun for the next 20-30 minutes. So stick around. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Radio, the Valley's local sports leader. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Radio, and we're here at Fashion Furniture live. Come on down and get some Me and Ed's pizza. Top of the hour, 83 degrees. Sunny out there, folks. Be careful if you're driving or however you're listening to us. Be careful out there. And let's get the ball rolling. Without further ado, I have the Thompson Trailer Racing crew with me here today. Rick Thompson, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Nick Thompson, welcome to the show.
Great to be on the show.
And Dan Myrick, welcome to the show, Dan.
Hey, thanks for having us, Gino.
Hey, thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate you. Longtime fan of the Speedway. Kind of a new, I guess I'm new to the sport in a sense because, like I said earlier in the show, I'm getting to know and getting to learn a little bit more about motorsports as years go by. And I feel I'm still very novice, so I'm going to pick your brains a little bit, guys. We're going to go over some of the fun, the heart, you know, the ins and outs. Let's just have a really good time with this, all right? So let's just get it going here. Rick, we'll start with you, bud. Where did the love of racing and the Thompson Racing team start, and how did the family get started in the sport?
Well, our dad started racing in the 60s, and obviously before our time, and he raced through the 80s, and I just grew up watching him and other local heroes like Everett Edlund, Dwayne Woodward, and Ray Lawson, guys that I watched growing up, and just never thought I would race watching them. I mean, I thought they were crazy, but now I'm doing it.
You've been doing it for quite a while now, Rick. How many years, I don't mean to put you on the spot, how many years have you been racing now?
I've been racing at Madera Speedway for over 35 years. I have more green flag laps at that track than anybody who's ever raced there.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Nick, tell me how you got into the sport, and tell us a little bit about yourself as well.
Yeah, much like my uncle and father, obviously I grew up in the family with everybody doing it, and I was just fascinated with that from a young age, you know, obsessed with Hot Wheels and racing video games and all. But so when it came opportunity for me to be able to get out on a track, I was just more than thrilled to do that, and my just love continued from there.
Awesome. Dan, tell us how you got involved in the team.
So, yeah, it's going to be a similar story. You know, I grew up going to Madera Speedway, watching races. My dad raced in a limited modified class. So my earliest memories kind of came from there and grew up around the sport. I think we got out of it in 1990. Always had a passion for it. Loved going to the track. Loved just being there with the sights and the smells and, you know, the horsepower, the methanol, and the, you know, the pink popcorn that's outlawed, I guess, now. And it was, you know, it's what we grew up doing, and kind of a low budget team, and you know, dad was a driver, and, you know, we all kind of chipped in and worked on the car, and that you know, put racing in the blood, as they say. And then, you know, life kind of, for me, didn't go that direction for a long time. 2016, I think, was when the first time I actually got behind the wheel in a car, doing some four-cylinder racing out at Lemoore Raceway with the Farmer 500 group out of Salinas. So that was a good time, but you know that was kind of like the first competitive time I ever went out on the track, and that was game over from there. Haven't really looked back.
Gotcha. Well, let's piggyback on the track then. Madera Speedway. Tell our listeners how and where they can. Well, okay, let me rephrase this. We've got four tickets for anybody out there that wants to come by Fashion Furniture. The team brought four tickets for anybody that wants to come in, grab some pizza, and grab some free tickets. Again, we've got four to give away, so first come, first serve, of course. Let me get back to the question now. Madera Speedway, guys. Rick, we'll start with you. Tell our listeners how and where they can get tickets besides picking them up here today, and what to expect at the Speedway, concessions, website, that kind of stuff.
The Speedway is being ran by Kenny Shepherd, and he's doing a phenomenal job. He saved our track. Like, many tracks in California are going away, you know, and he really saved our track about 15 years ago and just keeps doing improvements. We have unbelievable concessions this year. Races almost every Saturday night. Okay. You just pretty much have to show up around 5:30, and you're going to see 3 or 4 hours of really great, like great entertainment for $15, $20, I would imagine. And you can see the schedule at racemadera.com.
Excellent. That's the website to go to, racemadera.com.
You can also watch a live stream with a little subscription. That's YouTube Live.
Okay.
Madera Speedway Live.
So YouTubers out there, make sure you dial that in so you can watch some live racing at Madera Speedway. Excellent. So Thompson Racing, guys, locally known in the Valley. Tell us about some of the names and the drivers that have gone on outside of Thompson Racing that have gone on to bigger and better things.
Well, Fresno is huge with racing history, one of the richest racing history cities in the country. The most famous family is the Vukovic family, of course, and I happen to be lucky enough to be really good friends with Billy Vukovic the second and third. Their grandpa, Billy Vukovic the first, is probably the most famous driver in the history of the Indy 500. He won two races in a row in 1954, 1955, 53 and 54, and he actually died leading the 1955 Indy 500.
Wow, that's crazy.
And then Billy the second and third both went on to run the Indy 500. They were Rookie of the Year and many top fives.
A lot of accolades for that family, for sure. Absolutely. Well, okay. Well, what direction do you guys see motorsports heading right now? What direction do you guys think we're heading right now in motorsports? Dan?
So for me, you know, I grew up watching asphalt races, and then as I got into racing, you know, I turned to dirt. And so me and Nick are running four-cylinder sport compact cars. We race with the West Coast Sport Compacts. So we primarily tour all around the state. We go out of state a little bit here and there and go to local dirt tracks with our class. And we go compete with the drivers, you know, at those home track drivers. And we bring our guys that come on tour with us and put on a show everywhere we go. What you got, Nick?
It's great to get out there with all the people on the West Coast Sports Compact Tour. As Dan was saying, it's just a lot of great competition. We pick up a lot of people as we travel, and so that makes it a lot of fun.
I got to tell you, I've raced asphalt for obviously 30 years plus. I ran dirt back in the 80s at Hanford, and I said I would never run dirt again, but I got a great chance to drive for Dan a couple times. Like my nephew Nick drives for Dan. Dan has a great team. If anybody needs a car, he's the guy to call. He can get you one reasonable. But I drove a couple races in the dirt in those sports compact four cylinders, and they are a blast.
So, how big are the crews normally for in the pits and on the for the race team? How big are the crews normally?
I think we got a lot of guys that you know have one or two buddies out there with them helping. Some crews, you know, they have a set. They have actual, like, you know, hey, he's the crew chief. This guy's our pit guy or hot pit guy if we got to change a tire.
Gotcha.
For me, my races are televised nationally, so we have a lot of huge teams come in with their big haulers and their extra race cars, and they come in with 10-man crews, and it's really hard to compete against that. They're making changes on the car so quick, you know, to change the car from qualifying to main event. It's hard to compete with that, but I have a great team. HGC Motorsports takes care of my car, and I think they usually have four people at the races, four or five. couple young females on the team that are just phenomenal.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that as well. Females or ladies in general are starting to really jump into the sport itself. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've driven against some big names. Haley Deegan raced against me, and now she's up running NASCAR. She's in the Xfinity Series.
That's right.
There's a lot of big names that are coming up.
That's awesome. Folks, you're listening to Home Field Advantage. I'm Gino Morrow. I've got Rick Thompson, Dan Myrick, and Nick Thompson here, and they're here with Thompson Trailer Racing. All right, guys, is there – well, we talked about YouTube there. I was going to say, is there a way to watch the races? So you have to subscribe, or what's that about?
Yeah, you subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's Short Track TV or Madera Speedway Live is how I search it. That's live on Saturday nights, usually three Saturday nights a month. Our races are televised nationally on MAV TV also, if you happen to get that service. I don't know if it's on one of the local dishes or something, but, yeah, MAV TV is a big deal too.
And it looks like we've got an upcoming race next weekend, correct?
We got yes, the Pro Late the tickets models? For April 27th.
Okay.
Yep, I'm running the Pro Late model.
All right. Tell me about Double Duty. What's Double Duty?
Well, this year I'm running a second car. Madera came up with a new class. It's called the Super Late Model.
Okay.
It basically looks just like my late model stock car,
gotcha.
But it's got a bigger motor and it's got bigger tires, so it's about a second faster.
Bigger motor. What size are we talking about?
350 Chevy is what we usually start off with, and we can bore them out to like 360 usually, and there's a lot of limitations in my Pro Late Model class. The Super Late Model is more of an open division.
Gotcha.
What kind of tires are you guys running, Rick?
We're running 8-inch 8-inch tires on our Pro Late Model division, and we're going to run 10-inch slicks on the Super Late Model.
Nice.
Very cool. Rick, I've noticed 77's been your number for quite a long time. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's my dad's number. Obviously, from the 60s, he's always had that number. You know, seven's lucky, so we got double the luck.
And what did what was Kevin's number when Kevin ran?
Well, I couldn't use 77 my first couple years of racing because somebody already had it.
Okay.
So I had to start with 75, and then as soon as it came available, I got 77. Kevin had to take 57
He
first started. Yeah, but once again, he went to 77 as soon as he quit racing against me.
Gotcha. Nick, where are you running with now?
Yeah, I'm primarily running with the sports compacts, and my number in that class is the number 88.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't just move both digits up a number, and that's the number I'm running now.
Gotcha. And is that's the only car you're running right now? Is the 88?
Currently, yes, that's the car I'm running. In the past, I've driven for the Madera MST class, and my dad's former MST, the number 77. And that was a whole lot of fun. But, yeah, this year I'm just focusing on the West Coast Sports Compacts.
Let me piggyback to you, Nick, and ask you this. You're a student right now, going to college, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, I'm a student at Clovis Community College currently, studying graphic design. Juggling college work and the racing's a bit of a handful, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, give us the day in the life of Nick Thompson as a racer. Tell us, like, your busy day. What's a busy day look like?
I'm going to go to class either in the morning or afternoon, depending on what my classes are. Go to work, and depending on if the night of the week calls for going to work on the race cars or going home to relax, I mean, that's the duty calls. If I've got to go work on the race cars or if there's a race coming up, got to make adjustments on the cars, go work on the cars. It can get busy when there's a problem with the cars, maybe back-to-back weeks where we learn something's a problem and there's a race coming up. Sometimes it can get hectic going out there night after night, but that's all part of the sport.
So communication, guys, as drivers and crew, communication. Are you guys able to talk to each other during the race while you're in the car? Like, give our listeners an idea. What's it like to be in the car and what you're doing?
My class requires a spotter, just like these headsets I have on right now. The spotter's talking to me while I'm racing, trying to keep me out of trouble. I have a funny story. The first time I ever used a spotter, I was racing a big race in Altamont, and I'll never forget it. My spotter, I came across a turn, coming out of turn two, and there's a huge wreck in front of me, and I missed it. And the first words out of my spotter, it was Chris Holquist, the first words out of his mouth was, "Oh, my God, how'd you miss that?" I feel like I don't need a spotter, but in times it's really good to have. My spotter now is Mario Prisconi. His dad was on my dad's pit crew in the 70s.
Oh, that's cool.
We just love that family. He also sponsors my race car. He has Pro Laser Graphics.
Is there a way that the typical fan or the novice fan like myself could chime into your conversation?
Definitely, yeah. Just give us a call, and we'll give you
Is there like a frequency?
Yeah, the frequency. Oh, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
We don't have spotters on dirt. We're flying solo. We have a headset, either in the helmet or earpieces that the track can talk to us. Okay. So if there's a caution on a track, the track officials will get on and tell us, what's going on the track, where it's at, and get us all to slow down.
That's really cool.
But beyond that, yeah, we're kind of on our own out there.
Yeah, on the dirt, sometimes it gets a little crazy, and you have to make a lot of split-second decisions on your own without a lot of information, and sometimes it causes problems, but it's all part of the sport, and it's a whole lot of fun to have to make those split-second decisions and try to take victory from them.
You kind of either hope you hear them or you're going to feel them.
What's a normal caution sound like in your ear when give our listeners, like, what do you hear? Do you hear caution?
Track will just come on the radio. It'll be like, caution, 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 turn three, go high. Something like that. Every track's going to be
different. The other part is that the yellow lights often come on. Sometimes that's what you see first. And you just between hearing something in your ear and seeing the yellow lights flashing somewhere on the track, you're like, oh, maybe it's time to throttle back a little bit and not be as far into it.
Yeah, safety's like everything. Nobody wants to get hurt out there.
And that's exactly where I wanted to go with the next question. Safety. What are the new regulations of safety? I know it's something drivers, I know especially drivers, are definitely engaged in and care about. Your lives are obviously on the line when you're out there on the track. Tell us a little bit about some of the new safety rules that are going on with the cars and with the crews.
I tell everybody, I honestly think it's safer in my race car than you are driving up to 99 to come watch. We have a lot of safety equipment, of course the five piece seat belts and head and neck restraints now that have come around, and the crew at Madera Speedway, the fire crew, the safety crew is just phenomenal. I mean, you get in a wreck and they're there right then. They've got fire extinguishers ready to get you out of the car.
That's awesome. Now, talking earlier, Nick, you were saying keeping your mind straight. How do you keep your mind straight when you're on the track? Is there some way you prep for that, or is it something that you've been, kind of groomed into? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it takes a lot of focus. I think the best thing for me is I try to make sure I'm hydrated, make sure, electrolytes, drink Gatorades if I have to, just make sure I have the energy I need. But yeah, it definitely takes quite a bit of discipline to not get distracted. And you have to stay in it. There's not really, an easy technique for that. You just have to get out there, experience the chaos that can sometimes unfold on the track, and as you get better at that, your focus will improve, and you just get better at navigating those tough situations, drawing from past experience and what you see about the track in front of you. And yeah, you just have to make those split-second decisions, and it's just a skill you've got to learn, and it's honestly the hardest part of the sport, I think.
Folks, we got 4 free tickets for next weekend's Madera Speedway race. Hurry up and come on down and pick those up if you want them. They're sitting here right in front of us right now. We're here with Rick Thompson, Nick Thompson, and Dan Myrick. All right, guys, let me jump into the next question here. Can you rent the track? Is that possible? Are you able to rent the track to practice? Give our listeners a little bit of idea.
So Madera does have track practice days, and they have rental available from the track for just 2 or 3 drivers. You do have to have your own car, but what's new to Madera at last probably 5 to 10 years is you can actually just rent a ride. We call it a ride. You can rent a team to put your driver in the car. That wasn't available when I started off. I had to go out and buy a $5,000, $10,000 race car. Now these guys just show up with a checkbook and a helmet and a uniform. And it's kind of a great opportunity for some people that,
It's kind of could go both ways. Especially you, Rick, you got a lot of money tied up in that race car, and you get jack wagon out there.
That's
true. Tearing stuff up that shouldn't be out there. But not that is the case. But
Madera has a neat deal. Our promoter Kenny Shepard was the first one in the nation to start this new deal. It's called Junior Late Models, and basically it's 10 to 16-year-old kids running the exact same car I race, and he televised those nationally. It's a good opportunity for families to bring their young drivers out to get some exposure and hopefully move up. And that's where a lot of these people like Haley Deegan and
Jesse
and
Love,
Cole Custer and Jesse
recent,
Love,
right? Yeah.
They've raced against, at the same track as me, and then they raced against me, and now they're up net running NASCAR.
Would Jesse Love have like 2 poles in a row or something?
Jesse Love's doing great. Cole Custer, a lot of people forget, he actually has won a NASCAR Cup race.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And an Xfinity Championship.
Yeah,
Xfinity Championship as well. That's impressive. So tell me how. All right, let me piggyback on earlier question. So where did you guys all meet? Where did you, Dan, you and Rick, where did you guys meet? Tell us a little bit about that.
I think Rick changed my diapers.
Yeah, Dan's dad babysat me when I was a kid. We just grew up in the pits together.
Did you guys go to school, grade school and high school together as
No, I grew up south side of Fresno. I went to Roosevelt. I don't know where Dan went.
I think he went to Clovis High. Oh. I mean,
he was supposed to
go to Clovis High. I don't know if he was always there.
How about you? Where'd you go?
I went to Clovis High for a year and then ended up going to Fresno Christian for next 3 years.
Nick, how about yourself? Where'd you go to high school here locally?
I went to Clovis East. I lived on that side of town. Moved around quite a bit, but yeah, Clovis East is where I graduated from.
Cool. All great.
What about
school.
You, Gino?
I'm a Tranquility Tiger grad.
Oh, okay.
Out on the west side of the valley. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, go Tigers. In fact, we just got some new baseball swag out there for our field. Yeah, we're all excited about that stuff. Right on. So. Quick plug, guys. Tell us about Thompson Racing. Tell us about Thompson Trailers.
Yeah. Hey, I couldn't race without my sponsors. Thompson Trailers, of course, is my main sponsor. We design and sell race trailers to teams all over the state, and of course, farmers and construction and gardeners as well. We have all kinds of trailers right there on Belmont Maple, conveniently located by the airport. But my sponsors that help me out are Coast Aluminum, Precision Window Tinting. Pro Laser Graphics, Noble Truck, just signed on there this year. Noble Truck Accessories has really helped me out a lot. And then my team, HGC Motorsports, I couldn't do without them.
Tell us about your team. Who are those guys?
That's the Holden family, who I grew up, once again, at the racetrack with. Raced against them for many, many years. Hunter Holden, Tyler Holden, and Sheldon Cooper, and their dad, Howard Holden. I just joined that team, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago because I couldn't really do it all myself. The technology with the setups of the cars has just changed drastically the last couple of years. Hunter Holden is an expert on shocks, and that's a big deal. I'm racing against teams that have $10,000 in each shock.
Wow.
And I'm getting by with, you know, maybe $500 or $600 per shock, and it's just a little extra work on Hunter's part.
Cool. Hang out, guys. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back and finish up here. Finish our interview, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Again, come on down and pick up some free tickets for the Madera Speedway on April 27th. We'll be right back after this commercial break. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Radio. How are you, bud?
Keep my hands on myself. He was trying to swoop up on him. He's just an interview.
Thanks for coming down. Buddy, welcome back to Home Field Advantage, live here at Fashion Furniture. We've got the Thompson Racing team here, Rick Thompson, Nick Thompson, and Dan Myrick. Guys, we were talking during the break about grassroots. Let's talk about that. How do we get into racing? Let's talk about some of that.
That's why I'm so proud of what Dan's done. Dan has got his own division of cars he started, and he's really helping out the low budget teams and the young drivers.
So yeah, we call it the West Coast Sport Compacts. It's our own little class. We got our own rules. We tour around all kinds of little dirt tracks up and down the valley and some Nevada and Arizona even. So our next race, May 3rd at King's Speedway in Hanford. That's our next show. I believe it's a Friday. But if you want to check out to see what the West Coast Sport Compacts are doing, you can follow us on Facebook at West Coast Sport Compacts. If you want to check out the rules, WCSCRacing.com is our webpage.
A lot of Hondas and Acuras.
A lot of Hondas, Acuras, the fast ones. I also have a shop in Hanford. We do a lot of work on the race cars. Take care of Nick's car and try to keep him up front running. Kevin Kevin drives a car out there with us. It's 77, so Nick couldn't be 77. He's 88. But they're four-cylinder. Pretty much what you'd see.
Hey, some of them are junkyard cars.
Yeah, junkyard cars. Strip them down, put a roll cage in it, put a race seat, your belts, get a fire suit and a helmet. Come have some fun. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're racing with. Having a blast. If you want to, look into getting a car, you can send us a message on West Coast Sport Compact's Facebook page, and we'll get back to you and let you know kind of the ins and the outs, and talk to you. We'll talk to you about racing for hours. But
cool. Dan's also has a dyno in Hanford. That's where I take my race car to for fine tuning on the horsepower.
Yeah, we got a chassis dyno, a little dyno jet 224 X, I think. So what we're able to do is just kind of, it's a tool to measure horsepower and torque. So for like Rick's car, he came in with a guy that had like a whole truckload of carburetors. We kept swapping on there just to, see what was what. And I think, was he trying to sell you a carburetor or something?
No, not so much, but
we got a good,
but we gained a couple
good
horsepower.
Look. Yeah. Got a good look at what the different carburetors could do on his side. On the four cylinder side, we're all EFI. So
what does EFI stand for?
So there's a ECU, computer controlled fuel injection.
Okay.
So, a carburetor works off vacuum. The more vacuum the motor's put into it, the more fuel the carburetor feeds it. Great system. A well-tuned carburetor is worth its weight in gold. But what we're able to do with those four-cylinder stock cars is, go into those factory ECUs or aftermarket ECUs and be able to change your fuel maps and your electronic timing maps and, find a little horsepower there, and just kind of get them, even like we'll switch fuels. What you guys running 110?
We're running 110, supers? Yeah, but some of the guys run E85 in my class.
Yeah, E85 just got so much cooling properties to it.
I have a funny dyno story.
Is it the fire one?
Yeah, and actually, he just passed away 2 weeks ago at a race car.
No.
Yeah, Nate.
Oh, Nate.
Nate, yeah.
Yeah.
I had my race car on his dyno, and he talked me into trying E85. We were running the 110 race fuel. So he wanted me to pump all the fuel out of the car to put the E85 in, and it actually set me on fire. Yeah,
I remember when you were on the dyno, we had to put an air conditioner in your car because you said it was hot, I believe.
Well, I'll tell you what.
How hot do those cars get?
It's
guys.
Funny. Yeah, seriously.
I think we tried to tune his car in the middle of the summer.
Gino was mentioning that some people think that race car drivers aren't athletes. I have to tell you, I don't know any athletes that have lost 7 pounds in a race, and I do that almost every race. It's 150 degrees in my car, and we're running an hour straight. I've got out of the race car and just collapsed on the ground, just exhausted. It is a workout like you will never believe.
How many laps a night do you guys put in?
We run 80, 100. Last race of the year is 10 grand to win, and we run 150 laps.
150 laps.
Yeah.
Wow. Nick, what's the most times you've gone around the track?
There was an event that's run a couple years in a row, right, over at Madera called the Olga's Dream 100. And as the name says, 100 laps is what we are supposed to put down in that main event. But throughout the night, you can be put through the qualifiers, the practice laps, the heat races. And if you don't qualify straight into like the top 25 cars that show up, you have to go through what we call the B main, and only like the top four or so of those racers can move on to the main event. And so if you have to go through that, you can be racing over 200 laps in a night in our little things, and it's a hell of a time. I think one of the commentators for that race said that I probably put down more laps during that night than most of a season in the normal races.
Yeah, I think Steven was talking about like a whole season of what the guys do in Watsonville, because they're running like 15 lap mains, and they got like 12, 15.
It depends shows on what class you go into, how much endurance it takes. Definitely a lot of more of the hobby classes, we're only running for like you know, 30 lap bursts at most. So it's a lot more accessible.
Yeah, you don't have to be an athlete if you want to come race with us. I can tell you that.
But
right
yeah,
now.
If you're trying to do what Rick does, or you know, God forbid, what the NASCAR drivers are doing, that takes some real endurance, and those are true athletes. That it just takes so much, like, just like the endurance it takes. Your body will just, you just won't be able to finish the race if you're not in shape and you're not making sure to do your workouts and stuff. You'll just pass out at the wheel, and
you ever get a
that's
cramp?
Not good.
You ever get a cramp, Nick?
I don't think I've gotten that quite yet. Maybe when I get
Kevin
a little older.
Kevin gets cramps all the time.
Does he? Have yeah, you?
Kevin gets cramps. I've never got a cramp, no.
I watched a guy pull off the track that was leading. He got a cramp.
I lost contact lenses in a race before.
So how do you stay cool in the cars? Is there a cooling system, or you don't?
You take off the windshield, and you call that your air conditioning.
Yeah, I can't do that in my class. Windshield's required. I was going to mention, you mentioned double duty. I'm running triple duty one race this year, too. We were so lucky to have found the original vintage hardtop that our dad won the 1976 Clovis Speedway Championship with. We found that car, restored it, and now I'm driving it a couple times a year with the Legends of Kearney Bowl class.
The actual car?
Yeah.
Is being raced
car.
Right now.
Yeah.
You guys restored it. It's on the track
yes,
right now.
It right there.
That is way cool.
And Dwayne Woodward helped us restore that. Randy Woodward striped it, and it looks exactly like the original.
Do you feel you have the advantage with the older car? Or do you have an advantage?
You know, the older car is supposed to be an exhibition race. We have 80-year-old gentlemen racing against me.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely a vintage class. But we pretty much get after it. I haven't won one. Well, I won one race, I guess. But it's a lot of fun. Short race, only 15 laps, so you can't do too much.
Gotcha. Okay, and then the pro late model, we got May 18th coming up as well, correct? So
yep.
let me ask you guys, I know it's a silly question. A lot of our listeners are wondering, they've probably never been to the Madera Speedway. I'm sure they've seen it off the 99. Tell us, how do we get to the Madera Speedway?
You go up the 99, you take the Cleveland exit. It is at the Madera Fairgrounds. So if you just Google how to get to Madera Fairgrounds, you'll get there. And it's... A lot of people complain about the price, but you know what? It's reasonable. I think it's cheaper than going to the movies, and it's a lot more entertainment.
It's
you know,
cheaper
movies,
than
you
going have, to McDonald's.
Yeah, like, you get four or five hours of entertainment.
That's a whole different conversation for a whole different time.
And then, real quick, so we're doing the four cylinder stuff. I just got involved with King Speedway. The fair board is putting on a enduro. It's going to be June 16th. Four or six cylinder class, kind of similar to what we're doing, but very stock. And then they got like a $1,500 purse put up, $750 for second, $550 for third, $300 for fourth, and $200 for fifth. It's going to be like an hour long or 150 laps, whatever happens first.
Where is this being held at?
This is at the Kings County Fairgrounds during the fair on June 16th.
During the fair at in Hampton?
Correct.
Okay.
I'll say
I told
that
her I told her I'd plug it, so I had to throw it out there.
I'll say that if anybody's looking for like one or like just a couple events or so to go to a year, any race that says enduro, those are usually pretty fun to watch, because enduro is kind of just a word for we're going to hope these cars last an unreasonable amount of laps. So you see people going all over the place, wheels falling off, who knows what happens.
It's a spectacle.
Those races are a lot of fun to watch
that's
and
how
compete
I started,
in as well.
That's how I started my career. I ran enduros in the 80s, and it was 125 cars on the track, 200 laps.
Oh
100 laps
gosh.
Each direction, so you couldn't change the setup.
Oh, that sucks.
All at the same time.
All 125 cars. They start
good.
Three abreast all the way around the track, and no red flags or yellows. If you wreck, you stay there, and they have to drive around you. It's insane.
Wow, that is insane. What is this class called again?
Enduro.
Enduro. Okay, folks, if you're out there and you hear about the enduro class,
it
definitely
is
want to get in.
A very low cost. Find a car out of a tow yard or a wrecking yard or whatever you can find and build it up. Hanford's going to be releasing those rules soon, so they're still trying to iron all that out. But yeah, they're definitely going to do that.
At the break, too, before I let you guys go, I know I've taken a lot of your time.
No, we'll stay. We'll
we're getting close.
All day.
I know. Trust me. It's been a fun time. You guys were talking about a certain guy that kind of not necessarily runs the track. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. There's a gentleman that has, like, a ton of records that nobody really knows about.
Yeah. I was just mentioning you people that come
break,
from the Valley.
Yeah.
And I had written in my notes, and Dan mentioned it also. I raced against Cody Swanson. His dad, Mike Swanson, raced against my dad.
I went to high school with his daughter.
Great family, but a lot of people don't know, but Cody Swanson has records in USAC racing that will never be beat. He's got 7 championships in USAC Silver Crown and over 50 main event wins in USAC.
And he's still racing.
And racing
records are going
all over the country against big names. I mean, he raced against Tony Stewart and Kyle Larson and just all the big names.
That's awesome.
It is neat.
There's a lot of untapped resources in racing that we need to tap into. And, gentlemen, thank you very, very much for joining us today. We appreciate you here at Home Field Advantage for coming into the show. Are we out of tickets? I know
we got 2 left.
We got 2 left, folks. If you got a chance, come on by Fashion Furniture. We're right next to River Park. You know where to find us. We've still got some Me and Ed's Pizza for you. Again, I want to thank Rick Thompson, Nick Thompson, and Dan Myrick for joining us on the show today. Guys, great interview. Appreciate the time. I'm sorry I kept you a little bit longer than I expected.
We'll come back.
Thank you. Absolutely. If we get another opportunity, I would love to have you guys back again. If not at this studio, at another studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Gentlemen, thanks again for joining us. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, guys, we're going to have Roy Zuniga. He's going to be here with the new NFL flag football youth league coming up in the Valley. And we'll talk NFL flag football coming up shortly after this break. You're listening to 1430 ESPN Radio. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Home Field Advantage. With me now is Roy Zuniga. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Pronunciation correct?
Yeah, no, you got it.
Excellent. Roy is here to talk to us about the NFL Youth Flag Football League that just sprung up here in the Valley. Tell us a little bit about that, Roy.
Yes, sir. So what I did is I started searching around for some of the youth tackle football off-season. It was really nothing local. Everything was about 25 to 30 miles out. So I just started doing some research, personal research, and I was trying to look for other programs to get these kids active still in the off-season. And so one thing led to another. I started sending out emails, receiving emails back, just getting qualified for certain things. And I ran into Barbara at the Madero Fair. She caught wind of what I was trying to do. I just left a general voice message. She called back. And we just started talking about, like, what my ideas were. Like, I could have did this fair at a park. Right. And I wanted to make it more special for the community, make it more memorable for the kids. It's not to say having it at a park would have not made it more memorable. I wanted to make a stamp on the NFL Flag League and say, hey, we're here and make sure we support all the Madera community out there that want to stay active.
Now, is it only Madera community that can join this league, or is it open for Fresno, Clovis, and
it is. So what happened was, during my research, Fresno has quite a bit of NFL flag leagues already generated. There was one in Merced, and dead in the middle is Madera. And like I said, I wasn't going to ask a lot of parents to come out and drive 30 minutes for a 48-minute game. So I just wanted to make it more local. Everything I do, from the coaches to my sponsors, they're pretty much all Fresno-based or Madera-based here in the Central Valley.
Now, who exactly can join this league, and how do we go about doing so?
All right, so we have a website. It's www.powerhouse-madera-ca. That's where most of our information is given out there. It's open to anybody that wants to come. We have kids from Chowchilla. We have some other kids coming in from Fresno. It's open. It's co-ed. It's from 7 to 12. We are going to have another season coming up, and it might be a little bit of an older age group where it's 10 to 15.
Okay.
I'm kind of coordinating myself with the Madera Recreation right now, and we're going to try to coordinate something to where we could piggyback off of different programs to help alleviate financial burden on the parents and just generally wanting to have them have a solid decision on where they want to have their kid play. Is it with the NFL, which is a little bit more pricey, or you can go with the Madera community, which is just as great. It's more of a community base. And so I talked to Adam, and we're gonna We're going to meet next week. We're going to mesh some ideas to make sure that we are having a program end and a program begin. And we don't want to be overlapping to where parents have to make a decision. Do I want him to, or do I want her to be here or here?
Sure.
So that's what we decided to do.
Now, so we have boys, we have girls division, and
yep.
we have a co-ed division as well, correct?
So what we're going to try to do, since this is my first year, I made it strictly co-ed. There are other NFL flag leagues that have strictly female and strictly male leagues, and then they have the co-ed.
Okay.
Eventually, if I had a better turnout on that, I would have probably started doing that. I already had female coaches come and say, hey, I played for 8 years in Madera, and I would really love to be a coach. And we have two coaches that are going to be out there that have previous flag football that are female, and I wanted to make it open to anybody that wanted to come. So though there's no zip code restriction, and all ages are welcome from that 7 to 12 this year.
Officiating, I have to ask, because I've been an umpire for many years.
Yeah.
I kind of have to ask this question. Who's officiating? Where are these officials coming from? Give us an idea of what's going on there.
Yeah, so currently we are working with mostly youth. We have Madera South and Madera North referees coming. It is not volunteer. I volunteered to ref one time, and I probably won't ever do it again. So I went ahead and I promoted for 16 to 17-year-old referees, and majority of the high school already are refs to referee the middle schools.
Okay.
So they are already in that process of being a referee and being a part of the community. The reason why I offered a little bit of financial benefit to it is so that they understand that what they're doing is not just for the money, but it's also that you're being a part of something.
Absolutely.
So that's what I was trying to do. And these two referees, they do play football for high school. They do go to Madera High. And we have another referee. His name is Ruben. He has a tremendous amount of experience in coaching, and he wanted to be a part, but he wanted to try to be a referee. He wanted to, you know, make his stamp. So he's going to be my white cap this year. He'll be making those tough calls for the 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds. You know that one call that nobody wants to make that call. You know,
there's always crucial calls. never non-crucial calls.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So. So we're sticking with the community, and next year we'll have hopefully the same turnout with having high school coaching for the NFL Flag League, because once they do turn 18 years old, they go through the NFL program, and then they can be an official anywhere. They have that certificate saying, "Hey, I went through this NFL program." If you go to NFLLeague.com. On the right side, it says officials. There's plenty of information.
Okay.
Yeah, it's self-explanatory as soon as you go there.
I know we're short on time. So
yes,
I'm
sir.
I'm going to ask you a couple hard questions. I'm going to let you go.
Okay, no doubt.
First question is, when does this all start? Like, when does the season start for you guys, and how do we sign up?
Right. So sign-ups have been officially closed. We did start up earlier this February. We had a tremendous amount of kids enroll right off the top, and then it kind of slowed down because of just not knowing is this NFL coming to Madera Fair. Like, no, I'd never heard of that. I've lived here all my life, you know. So it's like, then people caught wind, oh, I already signed my sign up, and then, you know, it went from 12 signups to 25 signups, and then overnight it was like 45 signups. So I was like, okay, it's time to place the order and all that good stuff. But they can go to www.powerhouse-madera-ca, and all the information they're going to need, we update the website almost every week. We have other information, sponsors, and whatnot that help us out throughout the year.
Awesome, Roy.
Yeah.
We want to thank you so much for coming down and joining us.
Yeah.
Wish we had a little more time. Maybe we can get you in again, and we can talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah, for sure.
About the league. Maybe you can give us highlights on what's going on and some of the teams and, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, no problem. If I can get 20 seconds real quick.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
I just want to give a shout-out to Sushi Kings, John's Incredible Pizza in Fresno, the Pizza Factory at 2263 West Cleveland Avenue for helping us out. Michael Oden, Coach Ralphie, Tom Mitchell, Barbara, all the volunteers that helped coach this year, and the referees that are going to come out and help us make this sure that everybody's playing competitive and get it right.
So is it safe to say you're the commissioner?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, folks, you're listening to the commissioner, Roy Zuniga.
Yes, sir.
NFL Youth Flag Football.
Yes, sir.
Coming to you. All right. Folks, thanks for coming and joining us today, listening to us. People that came in today, grab some tickets. Roy, thank you again
for joining us as well. Yes, sir.
We want to thank Thompson Racing Team today for coming in. Nick and Rick and Dan. Just an awesome day today, guys. Appreciate all you all do. And, again, Roy, thanks again for coming down and joining us. Again, NFL Youth Flag Football established in 1994 in New England, that I read. That's crazy.
Right.
1,600 teams, 600,000 youth athletes. We're just adding to that crazy number.
Right.
And it's going to be even a bigger number and more fun for us here in California, right?
Yeah, it's our goal,
sir. All 50 states are involved. Why not get our area involved as well?
Hey, that's the point.
Absolutely.
Get involved.
Cool. All right. Well, you're listening to Home Field Advantage on 1430 ESPN Radio.